Baby kitties.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus of release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful of estatism out of your head. Can you feel it? Michael W. Dean James Weeks.
Yep, I feel it.
Feeling it.
And this is your Reverend Jim Jesus. Actually, I'm a shaman, legally. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. BIPCOT no government license allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. Like Daniel Day-Lewis! Oh, no, we already did him. Like Morgan
Harrison
Freeman.
Harrison Ford.
Like Harrison Freeman. Ford.
Everyone knows who Harrison Ford is, and he played the president in a movie where... Where John Malkovich tried to kill
him with
a wooden gun. That actually they passed a law because of that, and because of that movie, and they're applying that. They applied that law to the printable gun. That's why the printable gun design includes a big chunk of metal in the handle, but most people don't put it in, so yeah. It'll show up on a metal detector.
Yeah, but no, it's not allegedly. I really am a shaman, and it didn't cost me $2,000 and 9 months in Peru to get it. I just went on the internet to the United Church of Bacon and got my ordain, and I'm legally ordained.
A bacon shaman?
Yeah, I'm a bacon shaman, yes. This is
true. I don't know what that is.
The United Church of Bacon. I don't think that's the same thing.
It's legally.
What is it?
I can legally marry people, and the government will say like that's legit.
I can legally get married too. I already did.
I can legally marry people too. I'm an ordained minister for the Universal Life Church Monastery.
Yeah, but Bacon Church is better because
you guys sure like your.
And they also offer shamanships.
I can marry people without any. I can marry people under the BIPCOT license.
True, but
I have.
As a matter of fact,
you don't get tax breaks.
Yeah, you don't get tax breaks.
No.
Yeah.
I win.
That's the benefit of going to the monastery.org and putting in your name and clicking ordain me now. You get tax breaks.
Have you ever actually studied what's covered, like where that's legal? I think there's three states where, for instance, being married by. It's not recognized federally.
Yeah, how it works is in order for you to be legally ordained, you have to have like the approval of another church or a church. Like the pastor has to write or sign a document saying that. So the Universal Life Church decided, well, forget all that. We'll just do it for you, and we'll do it for free, and we'll sign the thing because it gives us free publicity. So you can go on to Universal Bacon Church and be legally ordained and start marrying people right away, and those marriages would be completely legal.
So it's kind of like...
Is that part of the Universal Life Church then?
No, this is like a step above. And also, I think Pendulette...
Step below, really, because...
And Pendulette has a lot to do with it, too. And the tagline, I don't want to say what the tagline is of the church, because it might offend some of our people and who are a little bit more evangelical, I guess. Or should I say...
It's kind of like nations. Thing. Like nations are considered as existing when other nations recognize them. Like, did you guys know that Iran is actually recognized by more nations than Israel? Israel is not recognized by a lot of countries.
But there's like terrible reasons for that.
They're squatters because they went in, took a bunch of land, killed a bunch of people, and said, "We're putting up our flag." Right,
well, that's like every government does every that.
Recognize our reason to exist. Although the thing is, they did it more recently than most countries with any power did, and they really they were ordained to have power basically by America and England,
and the
to
UN.
A lesser extent the proto UN, League of Nations, That sounds like a Saturday morning TV show for statists.
Sounds like it's going to be like a DC movie that Zack Snyder's going to be releasing later this year.
Hey, Jim, I thought of something the other day. I don't think I told you a little bit of inside baseball about that band that you like that I toured with? What are they called? Flaming Lips.
The Flaming Lips, yes.
So
one of my favorite bands.
When I visited Embryonic them,
is the best album, Fight Me. Go ahead.
When I visited them at their house in Norman, Oklahoma, when we were touring with them, so the singer, Wayne Coyle, what's his name?
Wayne Coyne.
Yeah. He owns a pretty nice, you know, pretty nice, like, normal-looking house. And then in back of it, there's another house, and they've got, like, maybe an acre of land. And Steve, the drummer, Steve Drudes, lives in that house, or he did.
Yeah.
And do you know what the band's name for the area of the house was? I mean, the land?
I know that, like, they have the Pink Studio. That's the only thing I know about it.
Oh, no. They called it, they call it Stately Wayne Manor.
It's true.
Okay. It's true, and not... You know something about him now that a lot of fans don't know. Because I think it's an inside secret. All right. So we're going to talk about AOLs. AOLs are...
you've got mail.
You've got horrible mails. AOL is a term that we made up, not America Online.
Is that still a thing?
No. You know what I found out today?
They are, though. That's the thing, is they are.
You know what I found out today that I didn't know? I watched this movie, this documentary called... Computer Cowboys, that's about the early personal computer industry. Did you know that Compaq computers, like, basically invented the personal computer, like, before Mac? And they're kind of the reason that miniaturization happened. They made the first portable. They were a huge company. They, like, they helped, like, knock IBM out of the personal computer market. Like, now I'm like, Compaq, oh, I think I saw, you know, like, I guess they still make stuff.
Well, but they, like, merged with HP, and HP, then,
that's right.
And then HP almost destroyed itself, committing suicide with Fiorina.
You know this, because you have,
well,
information. You know people.
Well. I'm people who know people.
That's everyone knows, that's common knowledge. Everyone knows about Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
She ran for president after tanking HP. Yeah. She's talking about how great of a businesswoman she is, because she tanked Trump. HP.
She's the female Trump, sort of, in some ways.
If you've ever had an HP, you'd realize that she did a great service.
No, because they took Compaq, and Compaq was actually
Compaq.
Pretty good.
There's no T.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
Close enough. Close enough for union work.
Yeah. Well, the reason they were able to thrive was there was no union, too.
So anyways, back to Steve Case.
Unions kill business. You know, there's, you know what's weird? There are people who are, like, conservative Republicans in every sense, except they love unions because they're in a union. People don't have any ethics. They just go with what makes them happy, you know? And we're going to talk later about the battle to get marijuana less of a felony in Wyoming, and how old people and square people are keeping it from getting better. You know the lot that Colorado's complaining, like, the police in Colorado are saying that legalizing marijuana is a really bad idea because crime has gone up. Crime has gone up because marijuana is still illegal other places. Because what happened was a lot of bums moved to Colorado after they legalized pot.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you like pot and live in a state where it's a felony or a heavy misdemeanor and you have nothing but the clothes on your back, you know, why not move to another? I don't know why they wouldn't move to California. It's a lot warmer, but maybe if they're closer.
I don't think they have.
I know a lot of people.
Oh, that's right.
I actually know a lot of people who have always gone and said, you know, oh, I'm going to move to Colorado there, like, and they're paradise. Like all the people that I know that have said that are. I mean, I'm probably going to offend a lot of people because they might listen to know who I'm talking about, but they're like the bummiest of my friends are the ones who's always been the ones that said
they
want to
move where the streets are paved with weed.
Yeah,
Colorado.
It's never the, you know, the hardworking stoner. It's always the ones that are just, that's all they do all day.
Yeah, they want to move there and get a job like trimming buds.
Yeah, that's exactly what they want to do.
But they wouldn't even do that well. They'd show up late.
No.
They'd steal it.
Yeah.
They'd
have to work for, if they were going to do a good job, they'd have to work for one of those guys that make you do it naked.
Anyway,
but in California, they're going to have to kind of wait a little bit because it does take a couple years for medical to kind of convert over to recreational. But anyways, AOL.
California passed recreational.
So did Nevada, but we don't have it yet.
We?
It takes a while. It takes the state of Nevada.
Me?
Well, I don't have it yet, and neither do my any of my friends, so we don't have legal weed out here yet, okay?
What was Steve Miller Miller doing there? I saw a picture of you with Steve Miller Miller. How'd that happen?
We were watching the Thunder game.
So he flew out to Vegas to see a game?
Yeah, and bet on it.
Really? He yeah. bring his boyfriend?
He's yeah.
Wow.
He's a very fine sumo. He chose a good one.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Slender
for a sumo. Yep.
He taught me everything I need to know about sports betting, so that was the thing. Nice. But anyways, back to AOL. We're going to get to AOLs eventually.
Yeah, I'm hijacking my own thread. I made up AOLs, and I'm like, but did you hear about Colorado? Okay. So AOLs is my derogatory term I made up for academic-only libertarians. Now, the irony is, when I posted that, I wasn't really thinking about academics. I was thinking about generally newly minted libertarians who live in their parents' basement who screech about why the free market is best as it actually is, but they don't have any experience in it. And they quote Mises. Like, everything is like, you know, what would Mises do? Or what would, you know, any of those old dead Jewish guys, what are their names?
Reed Rothbard.
I'm kidding, but a lot of them are Jewish. Because that's something, isn't that something that, like, Nazis say is that libertarianism is Jewish philosophy? Because
yeah. They say that about everything, though.
Yeah, but all of the Jewish libertarian giants were agnostic, yeah. weren't they? They weren't really Jew-Jews.
Some of them were.
That was actually, I believe, who Hitler had the most beef with is the non-Jew Jews.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And actually, the irony, too, is that didn't the commies keep the Nazis from burning some of the Jew libertarian, you know, books that are now quoted by the AOLs all the time? I heard that on a Mises, on a Jeff Rickenbacken. Jeff Rickenbach podcast for Mises, where he said that I was playing on my streaming network, cussfreeliberty.org, which you should check out. It's like LRN without all the filth.
But you play audiobooks and stuff?
I play everything. I play. Let me give a little shout out for my streaming network.
Let's hear about it.
I've kind of worked out all the bugs in it, and it's worth mentioning.
This thread hasn't been hijacked enough.
Yeah. So, well, isn't that the thing? We always get to it though. Usually in the redemption in the third act, in the last part of the second hour. But
yeah. We'll get to what AOL is eventually.
After we get to Custody Liberty and what shows are on it.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
That's like 2 bits.
Why'd they just turn the audio down? Why is the audio going away?
Hey, yeah, turn it up.
Wow.
Never turn down the music.
We apologize.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Go ahead.
Did you pay your AOL bill?
I don't think the board op paid his AOL bill. Okay, so I mean, there's like three things special that you have to do on the Freedom Fiends, and after like 5 years, people still don't remember them. So we say it on air. We point it out on air because we don't want people to think it's us making all these mistakes. It's other people that we have no control over that we can only please gently, nicely ask them and then tease them on air when they forget 5 minutes later. All right, so we want to talk about the shows on cussfreeliberty.org, which is my streaming network. Then we're going to get back to AOLs. So in no special order, it's Ron Paul's podcast, Free Talk Live, the digest only, because Free Talk Live is on radio, does not have cussing, but the MP3 sometimes has cussing because people call in and cuss and they dump it, but it doesn't dump it on the MP3. But the digest, which is like a half hour of the best of, you know, a 3 hour show, which is actually really what you want to play because it's better, also has no cussing. So Ron Paul's podcast, Free Talk Live Digest, Tom Wood's show, Scott Horton's show, Mises Institute audio articles, Mises Weekend with Jeff Deist.
I don't know what that is.
That's good. Jason Stapleton program, Free Coast podcast, Neo Cash Radio, which is a, you know, Bitcoin and other coin show. Who Will Build the Roads podcast, which is a Christian libertarian show run by some really high energy young people. It's the same guy that did that review that we saw.
Very high energy.
Of what is that
thing? Alongside Night.
Yeah, of Alongside Night. That guy Kevin. He also does another show.
Alongside Night, very low energy movie.
The Inner Tube show, which is a media production show. I play Freedom Fiends, I play Freedom Fiends shows that have, you know, liberty. If it's all Jack Buttery, I don't play him. Anarcho Agenda show. And Libertarian Tradition with Jeff Riggenbach. Those are the current ones that I update every week. And then I play archives of Ben Quaker, William Grigg, who passed away recently, the Complete Liberty podcast, which is not making new episodes, and some edited episodes of Dangerous History podcast and Libertarians on Fire. There's no show clock, just a random feed, but it is, you know, I do update it, but I keep the old ones in the feed too. That's the thing, like, no nobody lovers. Does on radio. Nobody, a lot of people don't play. They only want the current stuff, but I picked stuff that's basically, you know, kind of timeless. Yeah, the ones that I don't play anything except the last few weeks of is Free Talk Live and Tom Woods, because those both have tend to be like the up to the minute news kind of thing. So that's cussfreeliberty.org. If you want more information than us and want something you can play for grandma or your kids or yourself if you don't like cussing,
but no lowbirds.
No lowbirds.
Because we cuss.
Because you cuss.
I think there's a couple of them that don't cuss with Nick way back when, but
yeah, later, before Nick turned 18, Nick before he was old enough to cuss.
Yeah. Now he's got a filthy sailor mouth.
He does.
Filthy, he's been saving gross it up sailor mouth.
For 18 years. So what's AOL? Grandpa, what's AOL? First of all, say that's what AOL
academic
is. No, what it is originally? People don't know.
Oh, America Online. Welcome. You've got mail. It was originally the walled garden that made the internet kind of accessible to people who didn't understand computers back when cussing. Computers, you needed understanding.
Yeah. I think compact computers came loaded with AOL. I'm pretty sure they did.
A lot of computers came with loaded with an AOL and like a day free trial of it. And then you'd get like a free trial in the mail on a disc. 500
free hours.
Oh.
I remember my sister, when I was growing up, I don't know, this was probably like every teenage girl did this, but I don't know, she took like all the America Online discs that we would get in the house and actually like wallpapered her room with it.
Yeah, those were awesome. Mm. I used to use them as frisbees.
Well, the thing that we're missing here,
the shiny side of it, not the AOL side.
The people listening on radio, usually we have to explain things for people on the radio. Rarely, and right now I'm going to explain something that people on the radio probably know that young people listening on the podcast might not know, is that internet connectivity used to cost money. Well, it used to cost money, but it kind of still does.
It used to cost by the hour.
And you used to not be able to make phone calls while you're on the internet, because you had to use your landline telephone before there were cell phones, which was, you know, a phone that plugged into your wall.
And it was a fad that would go nowhere, and no one was ever going to use it. And it was dumb because it took 3 hours to download 10 seconds of a music video.
Yeah, it did. I did that. Meow. I actually downloaded, videos. Yeah. It took hours.
But it was
tiny
fun.
Ones.
So good, short, though.
Tiny ones.
It was so fun.
Meow. I'm going to archive.org and going to go fish around some 90s pop websites.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. I want to be dark. I'm not dark.
I'm full of light. Darkness. Darkness is for spooky things.
Yeah, we're going to talk about spooks.
Hearing about the difference the CIA. Between light and dark is pretty spooky, too.
It's not racist. We're not talking about
it. What?
Well, light's objective.
Yeah.
Objective. I don't know. Jim's on this thing of there is no free will, and I don't agree, but I'm not going to discuss that.
Well, I think Jim's pretty spooky about that.
Yeah, free will's pretty spooky.
I think determinism's pretty spooky, too.
I think not having free will would make me thinking the possibility that there's no free will makes me sad. Sad.
Being sad's also a spook.
It must be to you, because I've never
heard you. Hey, you just can't call everything you don't like a spook.
That's where you're on. That's
the name of the spook. Show. That's what you guys want to call the show.
All right, so
yeah. So spooky. Spook is something that doesn't exist. It's something that's only in people's mind, right?
Yeah. It's a figment of your imagination. Yeah, it's just something that's an idea that you've put so much effort into, and really what makes a spook is that you've tried to make an idea into reality in your mind, and that's spooky. Is when like you're trying government. To take something that doesn't actually exist, something like that it means absolutely nothing in reality. It's not you. It's nothing that's physical. It's not your property. It's something that is just completely made up that you've tried to make a reality, that you've tried to bring an idea into the physical world.
Give me some examples. Would race be a spook?
Yeah.
Some respecting the flag. How about like that would nationalism?
Be a spook. Nationalism is a huge spook. Nationalism, gender's a spook.
Now let's explain gender is a spook. Because we had a whole
gender's an idea.
Right.
It's an idea of how you're supposed to act. Yeah, it's an idea about how you're supposed to act according to your biological sex.
Yeah, how about sex, meaning male versus female or anything else? So do you think that's a spook?
No, because that's pretty objective.
That's based on, that's like...
Did you say it's subjective or objective?
No, it's objective. There's pretty much pretty sound science behind sex. Now, how you're supposed to act based on your sex, that's a spook. That's what gender is. That's a spook.
Yeah. Okay, give me more spooks, more common spooks that, I mean, I know you're saying everything's a spook. Don't tell me everything. Give me some more things that, like, the common person who has never heard this concept is going to go, okay, I get it, if you give me five more. Well,
trigger warning, rights are a spook.
Well, I mean, I guess in this, you know what I think is really a spook is this, the concept of natural rights. I mean, I get the idea of it as against absolute rights, as like, you know, laws give you rights, which is a complete spook. And, you know, but the idea of like natural rights being rights that come from God and rights that come from nature, Spooky. I mean, you're basically
yeah, sounds pretty spooky to me. Yeah, I was getting kind of scared.
I agree.
I thought I was in the Haunted Mansion for a second.
Would you say that it's Law of the Jungle then? Because that seems to me like the logical conclusion.
No. So just because things can be a spook doesn't mean you can't have preferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think property is a spook, but it does have an essential role in the advancement of the human condition, right? Or the experience.
Well, property is not a spook. Property rights are what's a spook.
Yeah, property rights are a spook. You can have property. Yeah, but okay, the idea of the...
I want to rein you guys in a little bit here and have it not too esoteric. Like give me the down-to-earth version of this, not the taking it to the extreme version of it. Like the one that'll make sense to people who this is totally news to. Explain it. I think I agree with you, but you haven't convinced me, is what I'm saying. And I don't think you've convinced a lot of people listening. So explain it really well.
So the idea that you can have things that are in your head, concepts that you hold in your head, like the idea of gender, that women should act a certain way, that men should act a certain way, it's all basically ideas that are in people's heads. They don't actually exist in the real world, only outside of the fact that we believe it to be so, and so we act accordingly. But once you kind of get rid of that spook,
I came up with a really good term for that. Collective hallucinations.
Yeah. Well, spook already exists.
That's a spook. Yeah.
Well,
you just came up with another name for spook, it sounds like.
I'm explaining spook.
Yeah,
I think that James is being a little too esoteric here. Just saying, it's a spook because it's a spook. You know, you're kind of
three spooky animals
and because
yeah, gotta inception the spooks, man. Spooks inside spooks. We're in a giant spook dream.
All right, but be serious here for a second, James.
Okay.
I think Jim did a good job of it. I want to hear your.
Jim did a good job.
Okay, so you do a good job in a different way now. So if people still didn't get that, what do you mean that everything's a spook? I don't think everything's a spook. Do you really mean everything?
No.
Everything can be a spook.
Everything, you know, everything cannot be a spook because I'm not a spook. You're not a spook.
Okay.
You know, but ideas are what the spooks are. The ideas that we place such important value on that we try and bring them from the metaphysical world, I guess you'd say, into the physical world and place so much importance on them that we guide our physical.
Who's we?
We as in
them,
human
them. As in us three. Yeah.
Us three,
no,
human race, us. Whatever.
Well, you sound like you've risen beyond this. So are you including yourself in this or not, in this we?
Well, yes.
It's the royal we.
Everyone. It's just
the
royal
we. You know the editorial?
Yeah. It's the royal we.
The thing that communists use all the time? Yeah. Ooh, communism.
It's just the communism is a spook, too.
Here's my problem with this. I really think you're not getting anything across that's going to mean anything to anybody. I think if you're saying everything's
okay,
a spook,
let's
I can't tell when you're joking either or not because you're saying everything's a spook, you know. But then
okay,
I don't think there's much nuance in when your voice is joking when it's not, James, and to a lesser extent, Jim. And it's like the whole thing you said. If I hadn't broken this down and tried to get you to explain it, you guys would have just said everything's a spook and then moved on to why AOL is a spook.
You've been listening to Wolberts.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so let's talk about
conversations like this. That's why I don't.
So let's talk about a particular spook, and that's one that I wanted to talk about for a while, and that's argumentation ethics, which was like something that Hans Hermann Hoppe developed. Mm-hmm. And it was basically kind of like the final
for
proof.
Fighting, right?
Rules for it's supposed to be like absolute proof that everybody agrees with the non-aggression principle, which is, you know, everybody should agree you shouldn't commit force or fraud against people, which is a spook, right? But mm-hmm. it's a helpful spook in some ways. I don't agree with it axiomatically.
I mean, you can have spooks that might be more positive and more negative. It still doesn't change that they're a spook, though.
Yeah. So, and basically how it works is, because we're having a debate about the non-aggression principle, whether it's true or not, the fact that you're here voluntarily trying to convince me without using coercion or violence, that therefore you're acting in accordance with the non-aggression principle, and therefore you denying it would be a pejorative contradiction, which means that in the act of doing it, you're proving yourself wrong.
Sounds like I argue, therefore I am. To me.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like that saying.
Or, yeah.
And there's a big problem with pejorative contradictions as a proof. You can, it should give you pause, like, okay, something's not right because I'm arguing against something that I'm actually doing. But it isn't like proof that it's right or wrong. Like, we can imagine a determinist universe, right, where everything is predetermined, where in that world there's a person trying to convince another person that they don't have free will. Now, because they're trying to convince someone in a deterministic universe that free will doesn't exist, that's a pejorative contradiction, but in this universe, it's true. So we can say that something like that's a performative contradiction is not a proof that something is true or not. Rather, it shows like kind of an absurdity, right?
And you don't agree with
this,
right?
So that's a spook, huh?
You don't agree with that form of arguing.
I do. That pejorative contradictions are a proof?
No. What was the first thing you started with? The Hans Herman Hoppe thing.
Okay, that's argumentation ethics. I disagree
with
that.
You do not agree with that, right? You call it a spook.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I really want to do is I want to get
it's one a spook. Or both of you.
I want to get one or both of you on this show to discuss this with Phil. Because Phil's smarter than both you guys, and he is logical, and he knows real logic, you know, like, mm-hmm. he knows how to argue, and he recognizes fallacies, but not in the way that most libertarians are like, oh, that's an ad hominem, you know, not just naming the, you know, two or three kinds of fallacies they know. I want to run this by Phil. I want to have Phil talk with you guys.
But I think that the more important thing is with this is that a lot of people will try to use argumentation ethics, even though they don't really understand the deeper kind of context of what I just went into. And they just say, like, oh, it's just a way for me to shut people up who disagree with the NAP is by saying, oh, it's a performative contradiction. You're proving yourself wrong. Ha ha. Moving along. And it's, yeah, these are not like the academics per se, right? We're talking about people in terms of
newly minted libertarians who have a sense of humor.
who just kind of flipped through a few pages of Democracy.
Well, the thing is, this was developed by the academic libertarians. And yeah, newly minted libertarians may use this a lot, but this is something that came from academia. Well, if you want to call Hans Herman Hoppe academia, he's pretty spooked.
Well, he did work at the university here in Vegas for a while. So.
Well, you know, my problem, an irony was when I first stated the concept AOL of academic-only libertarians, meaning libertarians who only look at the academic side of it. An actual academic jumped on and started complaining to me. I'm not going to, you know, besmirch that it was Stefan Kinsella, but I'm not going to say him by name.
I like Stefan.
I like Stefan, too. But I thought it was pretty funny that he jumped on, you know, as an academic. Like, he thought I was attacking academia. Like,
no.
He said, well, he did. You're saying, no, I wasn't? Or
no, I mean, like, I'm sad that he thinks that.
Yeah.
I'm sad that he thinks that.
I wasn't even thinking about academics. I was thinking about kids in their parents' basement who've read a Mises book over the past week, and suddenly they're
declaring themselves
libertarian. Yeah, or watch some videos and suddenly know everything. And those are the people that I don't argue on the internet for the most part, because winning an argument on the internet is like, you know, beating up a crippled person. But it really is for the most part.
Well, you can't win.
Beating up crippled people is not a spook. It's very bad.
Don't do it.
Don't beat up crippled people.
If you argue with people on the internet and think you're cool because you won, it's like beating up a crippled person and thinking you're cool.
That's pretty spooky.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message.
Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Explain the meme on air. Okay.
So there's this meme, and it's got a bunch of different pictures of kind of soccer players holding each other, and they're from different teams. And the implication is like they're from different countries, like soccer teams. And they're kind of holding each other, kind of like they go, "Oh, it's okay," you know. And the other one's sad, and the one that's hugging the other one that's sad, not the sad one, is the drawing of Max Stirner, and he says, "Oh, it's all right, my friend. Nationality is just a spook."
So why is that funny if it's drawn by a commie of a commie?
Well, no, Stirner was not a commie.
Stirner was not a commie. Yeah. Oh. Stirner spent Stirner triggered Karl Marx more than anyone else. Karl Marx actually wrote more trying. It was funny. Basically, there's like a whole back in the day when there was Stirner was one of like the young Hegelians, I guess you'd say, and he, I think I pronounced the guy's name wrong, but he wrote just like two books. Karl Marx wrote volumes trying to debunk Stirner. Karl Marx got triggered so much by it. It would be like if you're in like a rap battle, right? And one guy puts out one verse against you, and then the guy puts out an entire album in response. Like,
that's NWA.
That's how triggered Karl Marx was by Stirner. It was great.
Here's what I think, though, is that if a meme requires explanation to an intelligent person, it's a bad meme. I don't think these are good memes. I don't want to use these anymore. I mean, come on, man. Stirner meme.
Okay, so the whole thing is like, and on top of that, what he was saying earlier is that Stirner influenced a lot of people, from people who were communist to people who were very libertarian, including like Ayn Rand was like a big, her big influence. A lot of that stuff, like selfishness is a virtue type stuff. A lot of that came from Stirner as well.
I'm going to use the other meme that says, "Haha, great post, well spooked, my property." Explain that. Yeah. I'm going to use it. It's a better looking meme. It's two panels instead of four. The letters are bigger. Memes are bumper stickers, man. You guys gotta realize that. You guys are good at memes sometimes, but
I didn't make those.
Sometimes you don't, whoever didn't make, well, you picked them.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Memes should have 25 words or less, and more like half that, or a third of that, or a quarter of that, and like two panels, three maybe tops, I think.
Yeah. So the original idea for this meme was, it was a Pepe meme where he was basically saying, "Haha, great post." And he's cheering with a glass of champagne in a really big glass. That's a really big glass for champagne. It should be a flute glass. Anyways, and so basically they edited it to have Max Stirner's head on it, and it says, "Haha, well spooked my property," which is basically implying that the person said something pretty spooky, said something, you know, he was implying that something was absolutely true, which is just a figment of his imagination.
Mm. So let me ask this for the people in the cheap seats. Spooked is not something James made up, right?
This is actually in a book that I'm reading right now.
This dates back to like the 1800s.
Spooked does?
Yeah, spooky. Yeah, this is something that was in Max Stirner's book.
Cool.
Ego and
Einzig in whatever pronounced in German.
All right. Well, basically, we've spent the whole show trying to explain the terms, and I still think it hasn't been done well enough. But
okay.
Are we going to go on to the thing that we started saying in the beginning? I mean, do you guys have anything to say about this?
We got to go in. Now that we've explained spook pretty poorly, let's go into what is a spook. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the spooky things AOL say.
Let me explain spook really well. Replace the word, if we're saying the word spook, say replace it with the word fantasy or, you know, figment of your imagination.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It took us an hour to do that, man. You didn't even say
that. I wanted to really kind of explain what it was deeply.
Because you guys are academic-only libertarians in this show. You are.
we're going to get into why we're not.
Why are you not in the second hour?
Yeah. But we need to explain.
Well, in the second hour, we're going to start with, we're talking about being a spook. When we say spook, just substitute the word figment of the collective imagination. Because that's a lot better than the whole hour we spent explaining it. All right.
Or we can just say, like, it's a spook, a.k.a. a figment of your imagination.
Yeah. Made up BS that people believe and shouldn't.
And we can still... We've said that.
Yeah. And that also gives us plenty of opportunity to say things are spooky without reference.
I've got a couple topics I'd like to discuss, too, if you guys will allow it.
I'll allow it on my show any day.
Yeah, keep it there on your show. That's why you have a show.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do Kona Central parenthetical this without anyone going, ugh.
I keep it spooky.
That's Lulberts.com. If you like what you just heard for some reason, go to Lulberts.com.
When the final element is released, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. If a retro fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. If a retro fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. If a retro fiend, they gotta collect them all.
Broadcasting, covered by the BIPCOD, no government license. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
The show, license, and then the rest of the stuff in the middle is really just stuff we made up that sounds cool. they kind of imitate other shows that take their stuff seriously. And, so...
Radio you control.
Yeah, right.
No, radio I control. You don't need to control it, Jim. You try to. You're out of control, Jim. All right, so...
It's covered by the BIPCOD no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at...
Thank you. I should do that on your show.
All you need is
saves his breath. I should just have like 45. I should just make one an app just for me that just has pretty much everything I say on the show. Like, shut up, Jim. Stop burying the lead, James.
What's a spook?
Government's horrible. So I'm going to start by saying government's horrible. Anyone who believes in government is deluding themselves and is spooking themselves. And we are going to define two terms. We spent the whole last hour defining the term spook and didn't really define it. Spook, the way we're using it, means a collective figment of the imagination. Something people think that they think is real because a lot of people believe it, but it's not really real. Examples include patriotism, and patriotism being important too. You know, thinking that you got to defend this idea of a flag, even though you hate the government and hate everything that's being done by all the people that control your life, thinking you need people to control your life. You know, a really common spook is the belief, I've heard it put this way, is that, you know, people are bad at doing things. Government's bad at doing things, so government should only do really important things. That's a minarchist spook. And the spook in general, is that people aren't smart enough to rule themselves, but they're smart enough to vote for the right people to rule them. And we didn't really define Max Stirner. So he was mentioned a lot in the last hour. And we buried you guys buried the lead in that you didn't really say why he's important. Why is Max Stirner important to any discussion we're having?
I think James should answer this question. Well, he knows a lot more about Stern.
Max he's dead. Stern, he's been dead since 1856.
He's been dead for a long time. But his what he wrote in, The Ego and His Own, pretty much was the basis for all individualist anarchism. And really, he influenced more than just individualist anarchism. He influenced the anarchist movement quite a huge just an enormous amount. He triggered the heck out of Karl Marx.
That's why people listening should like him. This guy made Karl Marx angry.
Yeah, therefore, really, really angry. Very angry. Karl Marx wrote volumes trying to debunk Stirner. And what's really great about it is Karl Marx's writings, Karl Marx completely just straw-manned Stirner the entire time and just made up his own thing and tried to argue against what he made up instead of actually arguing against Stirner's points.
Communism's pretty spooky. And we were burying the lead by not explaining this, how he was kind of part of one of the fathers of modern libertarianism, basically. Did he influence, what's her name, Ayn Rand?
Yeah, Ayn Rand got a lot of influence. Rothbard.
Yeah.
Rothbard's the people who influenced Rothbard got a lot of stuff from Stirner. A lot of pretty much everybody has drawn from Stirner either directly or indirectly in modern individualist philosophy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So he's a good guy, would you say?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
All right, so that's defined, and we defined spook. Now we can actually start the show, I think.
It's good. It took us a good hour, but we can do it.
There's two people getting on, two stations getting on here. Welcome, Belle Fouche, South Dakota, and welcome, Sundance, Wyoming, and all of...
Oh, Belle Fouche.
Welcome all of Northeast Wyoming.
I wasn't going to yell it because I would have been terrible.
Our neighbors are like, Jim's pretty quiet, but occasionally he yells weird things in the middle of the night.
He kept saying spook for like 2 hours.
What's that?
He just kept saying spook for 2 hours.
Yeah. All right. So I guess you guys have decided that the show title is going to be something about spooks. What do you want to call it?
Yeah, spooky. Spooky, scary skeletons.
Don't be a spook. How about don't be a spook? Oh, I really like this one.
Oh, I have a picture for that then. Go ahead, sorry.
All right, send it. But my favorite of these many inexplicable memes you sent so far is the one of Stirner as a boxer knocking out Engels or Marx. Is it Marx?
Yeah, knocking out Marx. Marx, yeah.
That explains it to the people in the cheap seats like me. So
yeah, there you go.
Send the image. So why is it a spook when people are an AOL, which is what we're calling academic-only libertarians?
Because their whole thing is they're just arguing ideas. They're not actually putting anything into reality. They don't actually look at the real implications a lot of times. They're just, well, this idea says this, so therefore this.
They're saying, what would Max Stirner do, basically?
they're saying, what would this YouTube video I watched 2 seconds ago do?
Yeah, yeah. I coined the term AOL recently when I saw a whole bunch of them basically defending police when the cops dragged the guy off of the United flight for refusing to give up his seat. And a lot of people, a lot of newly minted libertarians and AOLs, academic-only libertarians, complained and said, like, I don't see the problem. What's the problem from a libertarian standpoint with a private company ejecting someone from their property? First of all, they used cops. Second of all, they're not really private property because they're more or less a government agency at this point. All airlines are, because of literal fascism. And fascism is, people yell fascist when it basically means someone I don't like to most people. The left and the right both yell fascist at each other.
Which really dilutes the term quite
a bit.
It
really does. The term does include tyranny, but it's an economic term, and it means government control of private industry. It doesn't, which is different from communism, where government owns private industry. A good example of fascism, well, of course, Italy, where the term was coined, but Hitler's Germany was fascism. Like, there was still private industry, but only the private industry he wanted to allow. And, you know, and America's like this too. You know, if they say, you know, stop making typewriters and start making rifles, the company does it. That's fascism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, and also in Nazi Germany, they were really big on having huge socialist programs, but only for people who actually contribute to society. And if you don't contribute, even if you're handicapped or whatever, then they would dispose of you.
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
Literally,
it is the anniversary of the Armenian genocide, which is where the term genocide, was it genocide or Holocaust that was coined? For that.
I'm not sure. Genocide. Yeah. But I know the Young Turks, which denies that the Armenian genocide ever happened, which is why
is
they
that
have
guy Armenian?
Name, the Young
or
Turks.
Or is he Turkish? Oh.
He's Turkish, yeah. The Young Turks are actually the group of
Holocaust
people who went around and committed the genocide during that time, and they just adopted that term. Yeah.
Really? So the
they're that invested in it.
That so-called news lefty channel? Yeah. The Young Turks is named after a bunch of people who murdered a bunch of innocent people.
Yes.
That's horrible. Do they know that? They must know that.
No, they deny it happened, yeah. They're Holocaust deniers.
Wow.
Armenian Holocaust deniers.
We're talking about a particular group, small group of people, like five people. It's a show called The Young Turks on YouTube. It's very popular, and it's, you know, they hate Trump, they hate Bush, they hate war, except when Democrats are doing it.
They don't really hate war.
Yeah. No, they love war, but only when Democrats are doing it.
Yeah, they love war.
Mm-hmm.
They love Democrat war.
They love guns, too, when the government has them, and uses them on as many white people as black people. They don't care. So a lot of people don't care so much that the cops shoot innocent people as long as they shoot an equal number of white people as black people.
Yeah.
Silence. Crickets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people who are like that, it seems.
I think it's funny how they go around and they say, like, nobody should have guns. Only the police should have guns. While in the next breath say, man, all police cops are racist and they just want to kill everybody who's black. Yeah, it's like,
needs one of those.
Pick one.
What's the button meme called?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I forget what the button's called.
So,
but going back to the academic thing.
AOLs.
The AOLs. Academic only libertarians. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're a spook. They exist. They exist. But they often perpetuate spooks just because they've read them and someone with a big name in the movement said it. You know, like Stefan Molyneux talked about UPB and he said that anybody who disagreed with it was proving it that's right. So therefore it's right. And I'm not going to try and waste my time listening to people who may figure out that it's wrong, right?
You explain know,
because
UPB
arguing
explain
against
what it's stolen
right.
from.
I didn't hear that much.
Explain,
talked on top of you.
Explain who, what UPB is and who it's stolen from.
So Stefan Molyneux was I don't know anymore, a big name in libertarianism.
Person.
He's a terrible person, and he came up with an ethical system called UPB, and in it he has one of these kind of lockout to prevent any kind of debate, or really, that people use to lock out any kind of debate, the pejorative... performative contradiction thing, where it says that if you disagree with UPB, you're demonstrating UPB, and therefore you're proving that's right.
Fallacy thinking, man. That's just wrong. That's if you don't agree with me, that proves I'm right, and you're wrong.
But because you say something so like clean like that, and it's so simple for people to regurgitate, and it just establishes their ideology in their head. Yeah, it doesn't require them to think, so they'll just say, "Well, you just disagreeing with UPB, but it's funny because you're actually proving it right. I'm moving along."
And stole it basically. Yeah. The whole system is paraphrasing Immanuel Kant. Right,
right, right, right.
Can you say that on radio? Where's your button there, Jake?
Actually, I don't pronounce Kant's real name on radio.
That's true.
Because you can't do it. It's yeah. So I say
right,
can't.
So
you can't.
What's wrong? What's wrong with and again for the people joining us in the second hour? AOLs are not necessarily academics. A lot of them dropped out of college, live in their parents' basement. Just they dropped out because Stefan Molyneux told them to.
They don't live in their parents' basement though, because Stefan Molyneux told them.
Oh, they still live there, but they don't talk to their parents.
You
parents are just spook anyway.
You are listening to Freedom with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it!
Triggered said firing, and it wasn't MK, it was the other one who wrote nameless, but yes, she was causing a lot of, I mean, not directly but by the content of some of her YouTube videos, she was kind of poisonous to a lot of people. And it's probably, even though she made a great radio host, it probably in the end was bad karma, you know, for the group at least.
Yeah,
so, yeah. She was yeah, making a spooky environment for everybody, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Her brand of feminism is, MK's brand of feminism is. Anyway, so we're talking about AOLs.
Feminism. It's not nearly as spooky as a lot of SJWs, though, I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you check off enough things on there. I don't want to talk about her. I don't want to badmouth her. I'm just done. We're done.
I don't either. I like MK.
Yeah. You know, she can go on your show. You can go on your show and talk about it. I don't care. All right. So are we done with AOLs and spooks? Or you want to talk more about spooks?
We're never done with spooks.
I would say if you want to talk about spooks, about, you know, things that are collective hallucinations that don't matter, I would say give more examples of it and don't just rattle them off as a list. Like, explain why each one's a spook. Can you do some of those? We haven't talked about government really at all. So give me some
ideologies. I would say ideology in general is pretty spooky, right?
I mean, having a belief, but having a system of beliefs that other people can identify of belief. You by. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all pretty spooky. They're all kind of ideas that are in your head. And a lot of these kind of purist ideologies, even when they, quote unquote, have been implemented, usually have not been implemented or have not met the desires that the people who advocate them for, up to and including libertarians. But only because I don't think we had ever had a real fair shake.
it's really funny to me how spooked up most people are. Like, you know, something like 47% of, I mean, like 97% of the world probably, or, you know, somewhere in the 90s, believe that they are, you know, one political party or another, whatever their country's main parties are. There's more than two in some countries, but, you know, I mean, in England, I'll bet at least 90% of people believe they're either strongly Labour or strongly, what's the other one in England? You know, the Democrats and the Republicans.
Tory.
Yeah.
And, Tory and the Labour.
You know, like that's
their
life. They
got a few others there, too.
That's a lot of people's life.
UKIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a number of them over there. In the U.S., there's just the two parties, really, that most people identify with. In a lot of countries, there's more that it's more spread out.
A lot of people say they want to, like, fix the government and have some kind of proportionate representation like they have in other countries. I know Chris Novoselic from Nirvana is a big advocate of this, and I don't really see that solving it. I don't see having, like, you know, five boxes to put yourself in that all want to point guns at people through government is much better than two. It's a little better, but not much better.
I mean, I can understand the point. I can understand that... you know, if you have less monopolization, because right now, you know, you have a duopoly on government, you might end up with a slightly less oppressive regime. But that, I don't really know how, you know, in practice it really works out.
It's really not working, though, because England is more repressive in almost all ways than America.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that that system would work out too well, because even anarcho-communists, like, they're universally for voting, whereas there's a lot of debate.
Are they all?
I'm sure there's like five of them that aren't.
I used to know people in San Francisco, a lot of them that did not vote, that were leftist anarchists. I don't know if they used the word ANCOM or situationist, or there were a bunch of different ones, but I knew a bunch of people that dressed in black.
Oh, they're just being sectarian.
Called themselves anarchists and did not vote and thought voting was and like quoted the if voting changed anything it would make anything illegal. However, a lot of those people when they turned 40 or 50 voted. And I blame NoFX and Fat Mike and his rock. What is it, the rock the vote thing, the punk rock the vote?
Punk voter. I feel bad, but I helped.
You're making.
I was a dirty hippie.
No. That was you.
I helped.
Yeah.
You were the one.
No, you.
No. I bought the album and I like bought the t-shirt and all that stuff.
Why?
Yeah, while you were doing that, I was busy.
Because I was a stupid liberal and I was dumb and young and full of wine. Full of spooks. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, you rubbed off, my son. Say 20 Hail Rothbards and you're that's a spook.
Yeah. Rothbard is just now a spook, because he's
which one was a statist? Which one of the great libertarians really tried to work within the government? Rothbard or the other one? Mises.
Mises and Hayek. Yeah.
Those filthy statists.
Yeah. Rothbard really went out there.
Meow. Good. Oh, we got to mention Attila's thing.
Mises was also a determinist.
We're going. With Michael Dean and his all right, I want to move on. Tasing you with liberty. We got other topics. I got some topics. Let's see.
Let's talk about determinism and alien.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
We got
worms.
We got spooks and spooks and spooks and
spooks. We got worms and spooks.
Spooky worms.
Wow. Kitties. So I want to talk about the new tax Congress wants to pass. Oh, wait. We got a shout out, James. Attila.
Shout out.
Attila wants us to mention his anarcho apocalypse ball page.
Yeah, anarcho apocalypse ball.
He has t-shirts.
Yeah.
He has t-shirts and a whole bunch of other stuff. And blah, blah, blah. He says, just mention anarcho apocalypse ball and tell people how terrible it is, please. There, done.
All right. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's not very terrible, I don't think.
I also look at how terrible network,
do you think it is?
You also have what, James?
So, I was going to
what?
No, I don't know what James you're talking to.
You're Jim. Jim Jesus
too many
is Jim.
Gyms.
And James is James. Okay. Always. I never call you anything.
All right. Awesome. So go ahead, James.
I don't know. You looked at it. What do you think about it? Did you look at it?
I did not look at it.
The page? No, I didn't look at it. He just told me to say how bad it is, so I figured I didn't have to look at it.
All right. Okay. Well,
I'll link it.
Link it.
I'll link it. All right.
Well, it's pretty much it's a satire page, but not really, I guess. I don't know. It's just
He is an anarcho apocalypst. What's the other name for that? Anarcho primitivist, which is
No.
He says he is.
No, it's not primitivism. It's something else. It's post-apocalyptic anarchism. It's
It's
basically Posadism for anarchists.
What's Posadism?
Posadism.
This is great.
Posadism is really spooky. Posadism is the fourth international Trotskyists influenced by this guy, Posad, who believed that communist society can only be reached through nuclear revolution, followed up by aliens coming down and bringing communism after a nuclear war that wipes out most of humanity. Also something to do with dolphins.
That sounds insane. But you know what?
It's not really.
Is it any more insane than thinking you can go, that you're not smart enough to rule yourself, so you have to go vote, but you're smart enough to pick the ruler to rule you? So speaking of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and how they're both equally horrible, and, you know.
And possibly Posadists.
I think Trump's a Posadist. Where's the allegedly?
Well, there's a theory that, you know, that's the reason that Ronald Reagan was tempting the Russians, you know, like basically fighting a proxy war with Russia through Afghani warlords that America was funding, who turned into the Taliban later. Mm-hmm. Or did they turn into Al-Qaeda? It was Taliban, right?
I think both.
The Muj, yeah. And, the, you know, some of the Muj, the great-grandchildren of the Muj, or the grand literal grandchildren of the Muj, a lot of them are in ISIS. Mm-hmm. The literal and figurative and spiritual grandchildren of the Mujahid, Medina, whatever they're... they were given Stinger missiles to take down Russian fighter jets. You know, so basically Reagan was risking thermonuclear worldwide war by doing that. And there's talk, you know, and he said things to the effect of like, well, you know, Jesus is coming anyway, let's make it happen. Not specifically that specific, but, you know, that was kind of a belief of some of the leaders of the so-called free world back then. Was you know, the Israel firsters, the the, well, hey, Armageddon's going to come. Why not let it happen? Why not be on the right side of history in the holy war?
Yeah, they're trying to make it happen. Make prophecies true. I've seen that a lot with the Israel people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really an interesting, you know, the enemy of the enemy is my friend thing, because, you know, America has been very pro-Israel since that time, but they were arming people who were very anti-Israel, but also funneling the weapons through Israel because they couldn't be seen directly giving the weapons to the Muj. That's a weird thing.
And, isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird. But even weirder is that part of Congress wants to tax your porn. And the really weird part of this is that this article in usnews.com, and I've seen it in a lot of other places, you know, it's not there's an interesting thing about conspiracies too, is this is an actual bill that Congress, this is an actual spook bill that spook Congress is trying to spook. A lot of times,
that sounds really spooky.
A good test for me if something is fake news. This is kind of bizarre, and I search and see. I Google a phrase from it, and see if the only other sites that have that phrase are nutbag sites that, you know, look like that have never met a conspiracy they don't like. Like, you know, they have articles about why the Earth might be flat and why, you know, colloidal silver will cure your cancer and things like that. But I searched that, and this is a real thing. There's a
Those
bill.
Those people are very spooky, though.
They are. So there's a bill that, and amazingly, Wyoming has quashed this bill. Like, Wyoming doesn't want this bill to pass. So there's a bill right now that might initially irk people across the country, but it could be a boon for curbing what President Donald Trump once called an epidemic. So I find that bizarre too, that the guy who said he liked to grab women by the kitty has called porn an epidemic. But, you know, I know. Me or him or both.
Spook.
All right, we'll add spook at some point. So it's called the Human Trafficking Prevention Act. The Human Trafficking Prevention Act proposes a $20 tax for your machine to get porn. So if you get a new phone or you get a new computer, you'd have to pay $20 and basically be registered to, you know, as a porn viewer. So there's a couple problems
with this. That's so they can track all your porn.
Yeah. So one problem with this is it's literally a violation of the First Amendment. And here's what I predict is going to happen if this passes is lefty places that don't mind porn are going to do the same thing with guns to punish the right-winger places. So, you know, they're going to say if you buy a computer in Massachusetts to access sites about gun rights, you're going to have to pay a $20 tax. I can see it happening. But the other thing is this is you could completely go around this. There's no way. They tried this with, I mean, unless you do it at the chip level, and I don't really see that happening.
What does so it's anti-trafficking networks behind this bill?
Because they believe the people trying to pass this, well, it'd be part of a bigger bill that would be aimed at stopping human trafficking, like, you know, sex slavery.
Which is all just a cover to go after prostitutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the times when they pick up these, quote, trafficked people, most of the time, at least in the United States, most of them are just regular old prostitutes that are just, you know, a couple years underage, 16,
they're just
17.
Agorists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're not underage. Sometimes they're not underage. And I believe that isn't Nevada really pushy about prosecuting prostitutes that do it outside of the couple, you know, like the unregistered ones?
They're really big on busting people who are like streetwalkers.
Yeah.
But as far as escorts, no, because then what will all the governors and senators and mayors go after?
I see. Go after or utilize the services of?
Or utilize the services of, chase after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, besides all, you know, basically it would just gut the entire stripper industry because it's pretty much what that is. It's just advertising.
Yeah.
So I get strip clubs in Las Vegas is just, hey, you know, like I'm like $300 an hour. You want to go?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So this bill, another thing that I think will happen if this gets passed, I don't think it'll get passed with this in it, but another thing that will happen, I guarantee, within, I would say, 6 hours of the bill being passed, someone will come up with a program, a free program that undoes it, or directions on how to remove it from your computer. And, I mean, it's kind of like not only could you remove it from a computer easily, but even people that were too dumb to do that or too technically inept to do that, you know, it's kind of like guns. Like, if they make all the guns that are sold have to be smart guns, you know, there's already a lot out there. There's already a lot of computers that can get porn out there. Those who get sold for more on eBay. Porn-friendly computer filled with porn and can get porn without the $20. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just think that you can't. I just think it's ridiculous that politicians think they can regulate people's minds, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's also the cell phone. You know, as long as it's connected to the internet, you're good to go.
Well, this would be on cell phones, too.
Allegedly. They want every device to have this weird thing in it, right?
Yeah, it's like porn blocking software. You have to pay a $20 tax to the government to unblock, which is another problem, too, is porn blocking software is never correct. Like, you know, first of all, it usually blocks like breast cancer awareness sites because of the word breast, and it doesn't block all the porn. And
well, how to do a mammogram.
To try and, what they'd probably do is try and force all porn sites to register with this or make like some kind of, it's illegal for the porn site to operate without registering for the system or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's probably how they'd go about doing this.
They'll make them sign up for one of those .xxx domains.
Yeah.
And they can't run it on a .com or .org anymore.
Right.
Like bipcot.org. There's no porn there. I'm kidding.
You could bipcot your porn, and then theoretically the government wouldn't be able to look at it.
If it came down to the point where...
Bipcot all the porn.
Yes, if it came down to the point where...
That's the show title.
Yeah, I would start a service, allegedly start a service and uninstalling that from people's cell phones, and I'd make a bank.
Bank. You'd have to charge less than $20.
I would also do that.
Allegedly.
No. I don't have to. I know I could charge way more than that.
Because some people, it might not be the money so much as being tracked and followed. But
yeah, there's going to be people who aren't going to want to have that software on there.
But if, they pay me $20, then I'll install free porn on there as a bonus.
Order. See, now. This is just going to revitalize the. This is really what it's all about. I got this all figured out. This is a. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. This is a bailout for the video business, the porn shops, to get people into the store to buy the porn. That's all this is. Wow. This is a bailout.
Hashtag bring back Blockbuster.
Well, it's also trying to put a price meow on things that are basically free now.
Meow.
That the government doesn't. Nobody makes money on anymore. Everyone does, but no one does. He's not the
Blockbuster video.
Worms.
Wow. What a difference.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Jim, James, not James. I meant Jim. Sorry. James the drunk. Wow. James is fine on his own. He's like those kids, and you know, like the kid in school that's okay until he sits next to the troublemaker. Jim is the troublemaker, and James. Maybe I should start scheduling you guys separate.
Yeah. That's so separate. Fun, though.
It's fun. Maybe I just won't come on when you guys come on. All right. So, do you guys have anything useful at all to say? You got some redemption feedback here.
I think you were onto something, and I can put it in radio form.
With what?
With spooks.
The name of the show is going to be, because I told you during the break that I like, you know, that this is kind of a little free form for radio. It's better for podcasts and what we're doing, and I think I like things to be in neat little rabbit turds of truth, and that's going to be the name of the show, Neat Little Rabbit Turds of Truth. So go on.
Neat Little Rabbit Turds of Spooks. So you were saying during the break that what should we teach people to don't ever use spooks, and then James responded, well, that would be kind of spooky to reject all spooks.
And I said, this sounds like you guys are like, it's just a big inside joke. And you said no, and you said you'd explain why, and yeah. Here you go.
Okay, so there are things that are spooks that are figments of the imagination that don't exist in the real world, right? They're just concepts that people hold as true, which are utilitarian, which means that they have value and they provide like good things for people. Like, you know, don't beat people up. You know, look after your self-interest. You know, long term, mm-hmm. not just short term. Long term also includes, you know, like protecting your reputation, so not stealing from people. Mm-hmm. And making everybody hate you. Those are all long-term things that will benefit you and benefit society as a whole. And those are good things to hold on to, even though they are spooks of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Just because something's a spook doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are definitely bad spooks. Nationalism is a bad spook because that holds no utilitarian value for my self-interest.
Is friendship a spook? You know, is friendship a good spook?
It's a good spook.
Yeah, friendship brings happiness, right? And anything that would benefit your self-interest, like something that makes you happy, why would that be a bad thing? Friendship? No. that's definitely not something to reject. But you could consider it a spook.
Yep. Yeah, or you should definitely not be friends with very spooky people, though, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
You should definitely defoo them. I should start a cult. No, but
all right, Molyneux.
So yeah, like there's lots of things that are spooks. Property is a spook, or property rights is a spook. But you know, those are very valuable. It helps to contribute to wealth and progress in society. So we definitely don't want to get rid of that. But I think for me, I'm looking at it from a utilitarian point of view, which is I look at what like the consequences of kind of an ideology has and how it works out for society, and if it benefits the most people, then that's something that I like, and that's why I still consider myself a libertarian, even though I say spook a lot, like a lot of people who don't identify as libertarian still do. Yeah, voluntary, right? Yeah.
Well, that's part of spooks isn't something just to reject outright, but it is something to laugh at and point. And when people try and make it into being such a real thing, that should be rejected. So when you try and turn these ideas into reality and try and make it into like this is actually part of society, this is the reality, and we're bringing these ideas and this is the way it is. That is something to reject about it.
Yep.
But once you realize it's a spook, your mind is set free.
Kind of like when libertarians run around saying that you have to apply to the NAP because the NAP is right, because the NAP and Rothbard said, no, that's spooky. That's spooky talk. Now, if you want to say, like, you shouldn't aggress against people because it has bad externalities and it makes everybody worse off, okay, yeah, the idea is a spook, but it has a good utilitarian purpose, and I'll agree with that.
Yes. Yeah, you shouldn't punch people, you shouldn't steal their stuff. Not because the NAP says so, but because bad things will happen to you if you do. Including getting punched yourself and having your stuff agreed. Taken.
And buy me beer. That's not spooky.
Hashtag please donate.
I want to check out my news network, news.lulberts.com. News every weekday. Real news for fake libertarians.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's good. I've been listening to that. It's funny.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I got to write tonight. I mean, report on actual news that happened. Worms.